This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to be talking about fucking emo. I'm so thrilled.
It is hard to listen to and not feel like immediately you're on steroids.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever done steroids, but this is what they feel like.
No, this is it.
I don't need to do them to know.
No.
Okay, should we get started?
Yes.
Okay.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch
Up
the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hi. Welcome to Punch Up the Jam. Natalie, you can talk whenever you want to.
Oh, I don't even have to wait to be introduced. Oh, this is thrilling.
No, when you do a podcast with one person now, it turns out it's way more comfortable to have two people talking.
Yeah, and actually, I love that because I'm always waiting and I feel like I never jump in at the right part. So hello, everyone. I'm Natalie Walker.
Oh my God. Okay, a proper introduction. Let's see. What song do I want to play for you?
Oh my God, I'm thrilled. Green Sleeves. You need to start playing Green Sleeves for me.
Actually, perfect. Marissa, can you please lay in Green Sleeves under this? You know her as a performer, a writer. You know her from the stage, from the show Alice by Heart, and just as a little vulture. It's Natalie Walker.
It's me. She's here.
I'm so excited to have you on. When I first thought about moving to New York, I was like, who would I want on? Natalie.
I cannot wait. I am so excited to be here. I have been telling you that I got super into the pod after Grace Bellman's episode, and then I like fell so in love with that episode that I went through everything. I've listened to so many eps all at once, so meeting you in person and hearing your voice in person, absolutely thrilling.
It's so mutual because I first saw, how many years ago did you make that Twitter video where you're just singing the alto part of All I Want for Christmas Is You?
Oh my God, the December 2016.
Right.
We're coming up on the 3 year.
So it's been 3 years I've been admiring
you. The most important relationship of my life is with that video.
And then through that video, me now?
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's it.
I'm
and
so this glad is to steal it. The number
and
one spot.
Everyone else is gone. Everyone else is dead to me. I don't care.
I was so excited when you agreed to do this, but I have to say, I was so surprised. You chose Taking Back Sunday.
Look, this is formative for me. Emo is musical theater. I feel like most people would expect me to do like a musical theater jam, but I feel like I've talked about musical theater on podcasts so much already and people are like, all right, give it a rest. We get it.
But
actually,
you're in New York,
emo,
baby.
I'm in New York.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. But actually, like, emo was the most formative music for me. Like in middle school, like,
oh my God,
that was
what did
it.
You look like?
I wore a metal ball necklace from Hot Topic.
How
I was like
the balls?
Very
the
Hot
balls?
Topic. They were like kitschy pearl size. Like, you know how some girls, like when I got to high school, I went to high school with a lot of like lacrosse girls who had the very like Kate Spade,
pearls?
But like knockoff. Yeah. They were,
whoa.
Yeah, they're like huge, these huge like fake pearls, but it was like very much practicing
like
to
a Marge
be,
Simpson look.
Yeah, practicing to be a Muffy or a Bitsy.
That's
just,
real?
Yeah, just getting ready for that life. Yeah, I grew up in Northern Virginia, so it's like a whole culture.
East Coast, okay.
Yeah.
But you were like, not for me, thanks. I'll take some eyeliner and no mascara.
It was only bottom liner.
Ooh,
and
in the
no
water.
Mascara.
In the waterline.
Yeah, waterline and like just outside of the waterline on my bottom lashes. And it was so wildly unflattering because already my eyes like slope downward like a little like pug dog
Paul
before
McCartney.
I put makeup on. Yeah. And so then that just really exacerbated the
perfect.
Entire situation. It was unfortunate. And I wore like pants with all the zippers.
Of course.
Those
and
big
the
zipper
pins,
pants. Yeah.
And the chain.
Happy Bunny. Happy Bunny was huge
Bunny.
For me. Happy Bunny let everybody know that I had attitude.
One
I
man's
cute,
Happy Bunny.
But psycho.
We should bring it back, I feel like.
Yeah, Happy
cute
Bunny.
But psycho.
Look, like that Victor and Rolf collection,
yep.
Like, I was it in the spring where it was like all dresses that just said like, I don't want to be at this party. And I was like, you're just doing couture Happy Bunny. Like, that's...
I can imagine what you're saying, but do know I know nothing about fashion. So I'm just
great.
Nodding and pretending to know
great.
What you're talking
so you
about.
So you got to go through it because it's literally like these fancy, like floor-length tutu gowns, but then it says like in graffiti, like all of the things that Happy Bunny would say.
Okay, so when I was 14, I would have fucked with that heavy.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
Amazing to
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Except I was more of like an Invader
Carrie
Sim
Bradshaw
girl.
Bradshaw Happy Bunny vibes.
Yeah, I can relate to this deeply. I feel like Taking Back Sunday was not exactly my jam, but mostly because, I mean, let's just get into it. I was a big Brand New Girl.
Yeah.
And for
I thought about doing Brand New, but it's hard now.
Yeah, okay. So for those who don't know, oh my God. Just, okay.
We're getting into the emo drama.
This is
excavating.
Like...
excavating.
Truly.
Brand the dead shall rise.
Brand New and Taking Back Sunday had major, major beef. And if you don't know Brand New, we can't listen to them anymore.
Yeah.
Jesse Lacey solicited nudes from a 14-year-old when he was like 25, and that's like just the tip of the iceberg, I guess. Yeah. So I have to say, though, of all the artists that I've had to be like, okay, I can't listen to anymore, I've had the hardest time not listening to Brand New.
I know.
Which surprises me.
Yeah.
Didn't realize how much I still liked their music.
Look, because it still hit for a very long time.
Yep.
And yeah, it was really hard because I knew I wanted to do an emo song for this, and then all of my like foundational ones were Brand New, and I was like, I don't want them to get any shine in this day and age. So I was like, I have to go to their nemesis, and it was like this or Stray Light Run. John and Michelle Nolan, big up.
Oh my God, this is bringing me so deeply back.
Yeah, back to like, Live Journal.
Suddenly I'm like, you guys can't actually follow me on Live Journal though. That's only for my internet friends.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only
for
my friend Martin, who's 35 and lives in London.
Yes, yes.
He first introduced me to the postal service. You know what I mean? God,
I had a boyfriend when I was like 11, and but I was saying that I was 16.
Stop.
He was 23, and his SN was Drake Firebird 23.
Why do you remember it? You just doxed him.
Drake Firebird 23. No, I will say
that
his
name's going to blow up.
I will say that I looked for him, because I was like, I wonder who that person was. But, everything has been sort of wiped,
yep.
I found.
Probably because he was 23, so listening something from a 16?
16.
But actually 11. Nice, nice, nice.
But also I feel like, I don't know, in that time it was Lawless. Like, he might have been, 14 and... a little weirdo.
The chat room culture that is so disappeared from these days.
Yeah. I did all of the RPGs. I did a real world RPG chat room. And then I got on LiveJournal to do LiveJournal role playing games.
Psycho. You're really brave to admit that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Brand New thing. So I guess they were best friends, the lead singers of both of those bands. And then they had a falling out about a girl. Who really actually cares? The point is the drama.
Yes.
Jesse wrote into 70x7, which was one of my favorite Brand New songs.
Of course.
I mean, it's hard to say this without singing it. I've seen more spine and jellyfish. I've seen more guts in 11-year-old kids. Have another drink and drive yourself home. I hope there's ice on all the roads. And you can think of me when you forget your seatbelt. And again, when your head goes through the windshield.
Is that what you call tact? You're as subtle as a brick and small on my back. So let's end this call and end this conversation.
Do you imagine this is where you would be as an adult?
Just still knowing all of the words when I deliberately tried not to listen to any of the bad ones. Nope.
But I guess that's all about this fucking Lazaro. Lazara?
Yeah.
What's his name? Adam Lazara. And then supposedly in There's No I in Team, also off the record that cut from, I can't even say the name of the song, Cute Without the E, cut from the team. He literally threatens to kill Jesse by saying, best friends means I'll pull the trigger. Best friends means you'll get what you deserve. I mean, for fuck's sake.
These
what
boys.
A time.
Yeah, what a time. They were so angry.
The time specifically is 2002, if I didn't say that already.
Yeah.
And I also need you to know, just to put into context for people unfamiliar with this era, how do I say this? They wrote this song while obsessively listening to Jay-Z's The Blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're listening to in this era, okay? What are we watching? Two things and two things alone. Fight Club?
Yes.
Because it just came out on DVD.
Oh, gotta.
And Office Space.
Yep.
Do you remember this time?
Oh.
Every man's house
so
you went to, just
Office Space. Yeah.
Again and again.
And a Boondock Saints poster on the wall, baby.
It's too much. It's too real. Just like the special features on the DVD. What else can you squeeze out of it?
Yeah.
All of the new content you could ever desire.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the music video, I would say inspired by Fight Club, but it's literally just Fight Club.
Yeah.
They just tried to make...
They just wanted to do Fight Club. It's like this thing that men can do and get away with where they just become a fan of something and then are like, well, I want to do that now. And they'll just shoehorn it into wherever. Like, I think so often about when Joseph Gordon-Levitt hosted SNL
and just did
make him laugh.
Yes.
Like, with no jokes. Like, it wasn't a parody. It wasn't, like, anything. He just went on and very earnestly did make him laugh from Singing in the Rain.
And it was cool.
And it was like, sure, you just wanted to do this. But all I could think of was, like, if any woman came and was just like, I'm obsessed with this scene from an old-timey musical, and I just want to do it. Everyone would be like, she sucks.
It's extremely good. I never thought I'd get an opportunity to talk shit about Joseph Gordon-Levitt's SNL intro.
Oh, my God.
You're right.
Gotta.
And also, like, adding insult to injury, the fact that they totally just ripped off this music video, it's, like, flashing words in, like, an Arial font.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Like, by the way, don't watch this if you're light-sensitive. Like, it will trigger something.
Yeah, it's like the Pokemon episode that gave everyone seizures.
But at one point, the video literally just says, God does not like you. One word at a time. I don't know, like, were we all high?
Deep.
Or maybe we should have been high. I can't tell. I love this question also from an interview with Alternative Press. I assume the alt stands for alternative, but I guess it could be alternator. I don't know. Obviously, you were adding a bunch of hyperbole and piling on the imagery to really pack an emotional punch. Lazara says, yeah, at that time, none of us owned guns. And then the interviewer says, well, do you own guns now? And the other singer says, I think that's another interview.
When was this interview from?
Like a few years ago.
Oh, Jesus. Adam, do I have to cancel you too? Do we have to cancel Adam Lazara on the pod? Is he a Charlton Heston? What's going on?
I have so many questions about what's going on, specifically with this entire song.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah.
There's two more things I want to say. Back to the drama. I think it maybe was all bullshit.
Yeah.
I think it was all I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But the singer of Taking Back Sunday says it was a fabricated attempt to recreate the Nas Jay-Z feud.
Sure.
But
sure.
Then again, he also said in 2015 that Jesse Lacey is a dick. He just sucks. He's not a good person.
I honestly buy it.
I would love some sleuthing here if anyone could solve this
for us. Yeah, find out. If anyone is either of their friend, let us know.
I have one more thing to say before we can finally get into this pop punk emo don't yell at me classic. It's from my patron, Ali Jurgens. I hope I'm saying your name right. I just feel like this so perfectly encapsulates this song and what it represented. It's my 8th grade problematic fave. Their songs are the only good aim away message lyrics, and I got wrecked.
Yes!
I got wrecked so many times by my crush putting them in his away and assuming he had a new girlfriend or was broken up with, and it was my time to shine. Dan, if you're out there, I'm sorry. I was such a weirdo. You were so hot. Hit the cell.
Yes. Oh, yes. Ali, baby. Very perfect away message lyrics. And also, Clever Napkins XO was one of my aim screen names. So that it hit on every cylinder, firing on all cylinders on ye old AOL Instant Messenger.
I feel like I really missed that wave because mine were all like buggy woogie. Like,
sure.
I was a child.
Yeah.
I didn't get we were supposed to be cool yet.
No, well, my first one was Radio Clemmy 911.
Why not?
Or no. My very first one was Nat W. Spice because my mom was like, what like kind of Spice Girl would you be? And I was like,
the Nat W.
I don't know. She was like, what do you like? And I was like, Spice Girls. And then she was like, well, Nat W. Spice. And then I realized that was not cool. And so then I changed it later on to Radio Clemmy 911 because
911 is the most emo thing you could put in your username.
Well, Clemmy 911 was because I loved Reno 911 and I loved Wendy McClendon Covey from an early age. I loved Wendy McClendon Covey and I was like so hideous. Like I had like teeth that went two separate ways. Yeah. I had a horrible lisp and Coke bottle glasses. And
that
so
sounds chic
I
to
feel,
me, but
yeah. And so
figure.
I feel like any iconic like slut character and like they presented Clemmy to us as just this like aggressively feminine, like overtly sexual, funny woman. And so I was like, that's an icon and that's who I want to be as I'm like going to speech therapy and holding a Fruit Loop on the roof of my mouth.
They really made you do that?
Yeah.
A Fruit Loop?
Yeah.
It seems like it would cut your gums.
No, you have to like hold it on the roof of your mouth behind your teeth to train your tongue to go behind your teeth when you're talking.
That feels like a little bit like cruel and unusual.
It was crazy.
And then you also can't eat it?
No. Well, no, I could eat it after I was done. They like would have me do it for like a minute. And
yeah,
then
nice
was,
try. Yeah. Speech therapist. Put that fruit in my mouth. See what happens.
See what I do. But yeah, and radio was because I played basketball, and it was right when the movie Radio starring Cuba Gooding Jr. came out, and my teammates called me Radio because I was not good at the game. And
Natalie, this is making me so sad.
Yeah, it's an excavation. But then I was like, I'm not going to try to do sports. I'm not going to try to do anything. I'm just going to be alt. And then it was Clever Napkins XO for all of
that was your rebrand.
All of middle school, fully rebranding. Tried to get people to call me Nikki. Didn't stick.
Oh no! Do you want me to call you Nikki for the rest of this podcast?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, Nikki.
Anything for you. Scene persona.
You gotta put it on, because are you ready? We're about to hit play on this.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh my god.
Your lipstick is color, don't bother and don't. I know exactly what goes on.
Dun-dun-dun.
Is it just me, or just like your blood pressure skyrocket when that guitar comes in?
Yeah.
Whoo! It's already hot, but I'm additionally sweating from that.
It's truly one of the most iconic openings of any song to me. I just know immediately where I am.
Do you have emo night here? Is it a thing?
I think I've never gone, but I had a friend invite me once and I was like, this sounds so amazing. And also like I would
hate
absolutely
it.
No, but also like I would humiliate myself there because I would be so into it
that's
everyone
the point.
Else is like,
no.
Stop.
Everyone is so into it. And
great.
Every time this song comes on, I mean, it feels like you're living out this fantasy of who you thought you were going to be when you were a grown-up, who you were pretending to be when you were 14, like moshing in your bedroom, but you're actually getting to live it out with a bunch of other 30-year-olds.
Yep.
And this is the song that people lose their fucking minds to.
Yes, because from jump, it's fucking...
Your lipstick is color, don't bother, Angel.
I know. Also, Angel, he says your lipstick has color. Don't bother, Angel.
Angel.
I know exactly what goes on.
Don't bother, Angel. I know exactly what goes on.
Well, like a weird pet name to sneak in that's clearly too many syllables.
Yeah, it's very 40s. Yeah, and also the scansion is weird. So it's like, Angel!
Don't bother, Angel!
No one has ever said Angel with that stress. The stress is on the wrong syllable.
Also just like, okay, your lipstick is collar. All right, so she cheated is what I'm gathering.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what? We go into this? Is it just me, or does it really feel like the drums are rushing?
Hurrying it up.
Like, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah. Like, yeah. Okay.
It's just animal on the side.
The Muppet?
Yeah.
I read somewhere that when they turned up to record this, they didn't bring a drum kit because they were under the assumption that studios supply those.
Cool.
Which feels like it makes sense to me, considering the way this sounds.
These boys.
I do feel like... Listen, I'm still like 14 when I hear this. However, I'm not sure this is held up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
musically.
I don't know.
Just posturing the question at the top. We'll see where we go.
We'll see where we get to.
Are you ready for the first half of verse one?
I mean, fuck yeah.
When everything you'll get is everything that you want. Every sense what you prefer. My finger on the trigger or...
The counterpoint. The counterpoint of it all.
What just happened? Oh my god, okay.
Are there two of them singing? It's like a mystery that I've never known. I'm like, is he layering his own voice? Or
two of them are singing.
Two of them are singing.
It's, let's see, John Nolan is doing the call response.
Yes.
And then the call is Adam Lazzara.
Oh my god, John Nolan.
You had a crush on him?
Oh, cool. Big crush on John Nolan. Straight Light Run.
Wait, that says a lot about you, though, that you were the girl that had the crush on the second guy.
Those
were always the cool girls.
But I didn't even know. I didn't even know that he sang on that one because I just listened to his other band because I think like...
He left pretty quick, right?
Yeah, and it was like him and his sister Michelle did their own band. I think because like they wanted to get out from the brand new...
Feud.
Taking Back Sunday feud. Yeah, it felt like they were sort of outside
Tainted.
Of it and caught between worlds. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah. And Michelle Nolan was, like, the coolest person. I think she was the bassist of the band, I want to say.
Oh, okay,
but she,
not
like,
only...
sang, too. And she was, yeah.
Not only are the bassists always the coolest.
Yes.
But a girl bassist in a boys band.
Yeah, baby.
I'm actually in love and I've never even seen what she looks like. So no. I'd appreciate an introduction later if you happen to know her personally.
Yep.
They said, everyone make this happen.
Please.
You guys, hashtag get me all married. Yeah. When everything you'll get is everything that you wanted.
Well, which would you prefer?
My finger on the trigger or...
Me face down, down across your floor?
I waited for that because this is already so much. What the fuck is he saying? I get that he's like, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
Right? Or I'm going to kill you.
Those are the only options being posed.
This is the first verse of the song.
Yes.
I'm going to kill myself.
They've left nowhere to really build. It's literally
my... Maybe you could talk about the afterlife. Where do you go from here?
Yeah.
How do you heighten?
No.
No.
Just the 100 versions, I guess.
Also, like, I'm so curious.
Just various options of what heaven or hell could look like. It just goes into Dante's Inferno is, like, all that they've really left.
Or maybe he's like, which would you prefer? My finger on the trigger or my finger on the noose or my finger on the slice of glass.
Various ways.
My finger on the toaster. My other finger in the bathtub.
Yeah.
So many options.
Where should the fingers be placed?
My finger.
I just have some questions about finger placement. What is your preference?
You guys, tweet at us at Punch the Jam with your finger preference. Sign up to our Patreon. We'll have a discourse going after the show for where you like to put your fingers. Which would you prefer?
Seven.
Okay, and then we have to do the second half of that verse.
Yes.
Okay, can you understand a goddamn thing they're saying?
No.
No. Until looking this up today, I've always just like gently sounded it out.
Right.
And I was totally wrong, it turns out.
Yeah. Do you just learning that? It phonetically.
Well, like that Fall Out Boy video, I think like it was like one of the most like, I feel like it was one of the first viral videos. It was like some fucking MS Paint bullshit. Like,
Oh, yeah.
Of like what it sounds like they're saying. Sugar, we're going down. And it's like a dick. It's so stupid. But like they need that for this one. Because apparently he said, well, just so long as this thing's loaded. But it sounded like, can you sing it again?
Well, just so long as that thing's loaded.
Like, again, Perfect. That's not how you Perfect. Ever say that. Just so long as this thing's loaded. I don't understand the ultimatum here. Would you rather have my finger on the trigger or me face down? So either way, he's dead.
Yes.
So would you rather have me die or die?
Yeah.
That's the question. Okay.
Or I guess if his finger is on the trigger, then maybe he could kill her. If his finger is on the trigger, then maybe that's the threat. Is that
Would you rather me
you
kill
or me?
You or me kill myself?
Because that's the only way that we can escape this situation.
From the intro, I'm gathering she cheated. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing she'll choose him to kill himself.
That's what I would choose personally.
I kind of feel like I would always choose that.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in getting shot by a man I cheated on.
Yeah.
But especially by anyone.
Yeah.
Especially by anyone.
Also, like, her lipstick being on his car, like, I'm just confused.
How did it get there? She was kissing him on the mouth.
Yeah. Like, I'm just so...
I don't think so, science.
Perplexed. Yeah. I'm like, your foundation is color. That is what happens to me more often than not, is that I'm wiped off, like, beige. My boyfriend is like, why is there beige all over my perfect white shirt? And I'm like, oh, cool.
Have you ever been to a Madewell dressing room? We all deal with it.
We all do it. Yeah. I've just soiled J. Crew.
Oh, my God. Listen, we've all done it, unfortunately. It just happens. You don't tell the people. What are you going to say? Hey, by the way, I got some makeup on this shirt.
Yeah,
please don't charge me.
My chin has been really broken out recently, and I'm going through a hard time.
Have you ever tried on clothes in Japan?
No.
They have a different system there that makes me so excited. First of all, you take your shoes off when you go into the dressing room.
Great.
So the dressing room is very nice and clean.
Mm.
Cushy carpet underneath your feet. But also, they have you put like... Sounds bad. Like a cloth bag over your head.
Yeah.
You can see through it though. So it's not like you're blinded.
Yeah.
And then you pull the shirts over the cloth bag. So it's like a head condom.
That's great.
Saying it out loud, it does sound a little upsetting.
No, I love that. I love that personally.
Okay, and then finally to the chorus.
Will you tell all your friends? You got your gun to my head. This all was only wishful thinking. This all was only wishful thinking. And will you tell all your friends? You've got your gun to my head.
Let's go.
Where? Where are we going?
Hey, Adam.
To hell? To heaven?
Because we're dead?
To dead place?
Purgatory?
What's going on?
Are we Catholic and we killed ourselves? No, we're purgatory. I have so many questions. Okay, so will you tell all your friends, you've got your gun to my head, this all was only wishful thinking?
No, I won't tell all my friends that.
I'm actually too busy kissing my boyfriend's shirt.
Yeah.
So, I my mouth is occupied.
Otherwise engaged. yeah, this all was only wishful thinking, I guess, I can't tell if he's singing about their relationship.
That's
like
my
the
read.
Relationship was only wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Or like this entire conversation he's having with her is all wishful thinking in his
Ooh,
head.
Very
like
meta.
The things that he wants to say to her. It's like him saying this into a mirror and like pretending that she's standing right there. And
so
then
he'd
like
be referring
inevitably
to...
when he actually sees her in person, he says zero things. Like she's like with the guy.
He's like, hey.
Guy is walking around with her lipstick on his shirt and he's like watching them from afar.
She's like, hey, Adam. He's like, hey, not much. What's you? Then quietly.
And will you tell all your friends?
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as she leaves, goes into like a full fantasy of.
I talked to her
and I
threatened to kill myself
at her. It's her fault. I want to kill myself.
But like even just on like the literal level here, first he had the gun.
Yeah.
Now she has the gun. Or is this a tale of two guns?
Guns everywhere. They're too prevalent in our society.
And folks,
that's what this song is about. It's prescient. It's...
Actually, speaking of modern things, let's take an ad break.
Ooh.
Okay, now we're going into this instrumental section and into verse two. I don't really feel like we need as many instrumentals as we have in this song.
No.
It's kind of the same thing the whole time.
Yeah.
But like... For nostalgia's sake.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh. I would love to hear this with a clip. Just to hear how it's panning out.
Yeah.
Don't bother trying to explain, Angel. I know exactly what goes on when you're rolling.
Help!
I'm outside of your window.
Help! I'm outside of your window. You're such a sucker. Sucker.
What happened? What just happened to us?
Okay, first of all, Andrew.
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 Don't bother trying
Andrew.
To explain, Andrew.
Don't bother trying to explain, Andrew.
I know, Shaggy, what's going on in your eye? He sounds like a little kid trying to like claim they know what sex is before they do.
I know exactly what goes on when you're
You
when
take
you're
your
on?
Pants down,
yes.
And then the things fall out, and they go, choo-choo. And then you shake them all about, and it just sprays. And then she goes, wow, wow, wow!
Yes. Yes. But actually, that is how sex goes through me every time. Every single time, I'm always about that. Oh, wow, wow, wow!
And then he's like, ching, 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 ching! And then they're just falling on the floor, like coins.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the slots. We're playing the slots, baby. They pull the lever, and the slots come out, and they don't go back in.
They do not go back in. They are a one-way door. I've heard my neighbors do this many times. I think I know.
Yeah.
What did they try to actually say? How about I'm outside of your window?
How about I'm outside of your window?
That sounds like such a weird passive aggressive threat.
How about I'm outside of your window?
It's like we're joking around and I'm like, oh, like what if we like kiss later? It's like what if we went dancing? Wouldn't that be crazy? It's like, how about I'm outside of your window?
Yeah. Ooh.
How about that one?
And then it's like, were you?
Yep.
Are you?
Do it.
Do you?
Do you?
I did not.
I
know.
Was kidding.
Oh,
okay.
Was
okay.
I? Cool. I can't tell.
But did you like it? Watching him keep the details covered. Oh, he.
I thought it was do what you need, keep the details covered.
It could
so
be.
So this is interesting that I'm finding out the actual.
You know what? It
lyrics.
Sure could be because this is unintelligible the entire time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
According to this lyric.
Watching him keep the details covered.
So he unzips the slot.
The slot is loosed upon the masses.
Sneaks it out like a snake charmer. Like, what does keep the details covered mean?
I guess after they're done, he's like,
whoop, back on.
Cleaning up those slots.
Ugh. Ugh. Yeah.
Like,
It's just such like a creepy way of describing something that doesn't have to feel so creepy.
The details covered.
It reminds me of that Dave Chappelle sketch.
And also, did he watch them fuck? Like, if he's outside of the window, like, he watched them fuck in the... Adam,
come on the show. Explain
Adam and
yourself.
John. The fact that it's both of them singing it, I'm like, were both of you there?
They're tag teaming it.
Like,
so I'll take like 6 a.m. to like 9 a.m. And then if you could do like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and then maybe I'll take like 9 p.m. to midnight.
I had a doctor's appointment. Oh. So I can't. If you could do like just that, like 45 minutes, I don't think it should take that long.
Oh, the thing is, I'm trying to get my sleep schedule back on track. So if you could just push it.
Okay. Well, it's just like Dr. Hughes is very, like, he books.
Yeah, it's a melanoma. It's not going anywhere. Go tomorrow.
Okay, okay. All right, Adam. Okay.
Thank you. And that's why you quit the band. That's the real story. You wouldn't take my shifts stalking my ex-girlfriend, huh?
It's like a co-op.
You're such a sucker for a sweet talker, yeah? Okay. So her new boyfriend's nice.
Yeah. And I'm not good at sweet talking. I can't even pronounce Angel.
Angel. Don't bother trying to explain Angel, because I know exactly what goes on. I know exactly what goes on when you're on, as in turned on or like up doing a tight 10.
I've never thought about someone like saying on as just like
an
abbreviation for turned on.
Uh-oh, watch out. Mama's on.
It feels like that has to be what he means.
I do believe, but you know, it could be that she's in a band and she was up after him.
Yeah, she got the light.
And then what? Back to chorus. Okay, this one I cut in half because we get this intense counter melody halfway through.
Yeah, fuck yeah, baby.
Tell all your friends, you got your gun to my head. This song was only wishful thinking. This song was only wishful thinking.
Okay, now, are you ready?
Oh, I'm so ready for this.
Oh, brother. See if you can understand a goddamn word of this. What? See, okay.
The only thing I regret is that I never let you hold me back. What?
You wanted to be held back.
You wanted to be held back?
I wanted to do 10th grade 2 times. The only thing, okay, that's fine. I just feel like it's really interesting to like go for a counter melody that just so doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very aggressive.
It just doesn't even make sense, like, rhythmically.
Yeah, it doesn't appear anywhere else in the song. Mm. Like, that sentiment doesn't reappear in the song of feeling like you wanted to be held back.
I really wish you would have made me worse.
Yes.
I regret that you let me be so good.
Yeah.
Mm. You know when you say that after your girlfriend cheats on you and leaves you?
Yeah, all the time.
If I was just a little shittier, maybe I wouldn't fucking miss you?
Yeah. If I had let you...
I'm trying to find something here.
Make me stagnate. If I had just been stagnating with you.
Oh, now that's a song I could get into.
Yeah.
Stagnating with you. I like that single.
It's a hit.
Also, just like... Okay, now the song... The song is just going to like go into a new location, uncharted terrain.
A real new location.
And never return.
No.
From whence it came.
No.
I feel like I don't know this part of the song at all because anytime it plays in public, like this part's always like, man, now we'll go to a different song.
Yeah.
Mixed away.
Yeah, because it's soft.
It's like soft.
All of a sudden they take it down. They take it down a little notch. It gets very whispery as opposed to screamy.
Okay, are you ready to
fuck yeah.
Be serenaded, if you will?
By my boys.
By my boys. My sweet boys.
My sweet boys.
They say the wrong things, but their heart's in the right place, I can tell.
Yes.
What is this?
A spaceship landing.
Down. This is like Yellow Card.
Yeah.
This is a different band. Someone keeps lighting bottle rockets.
I don't need to ask if I'm ready.
I had to clip it there only because I needed to unpack 1,000 clever lines.
Unread on clever napkins.
Where do you get these clever napkins I keep hearing everyone talk about?
It's like a Snapple top. It's just, it's like some kitschy diner where
they
have napkins. It's like a giraffe.
Is it shaped like a giraffe or is there a giraffe on it?
No, it's a fact about a giraffe.
Right. It's like, did you know giraffes' tongues are as long as their dicks?
Yeah.
That could be true.
Exactly.
In my mind,
a limerick about a giraffe with a big dick.
There once was a giraffe in Nantucket.
A clever line on a clever little napkin.
I thought like clever napkin immediately brings to mind like it's from Apple. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's like the smart napkin. I don't know what it does, but it's intelligent somehow.
Yes.
Okay, maybe he's like I don't know, writing her love letters at a diner. Are we supposed to know what
that
means?
And she doesn't read them. I feel like maybe it's like the trope of when someone like is inspired.
J.K. Rowling.
Like, yeah. Oh my God.
Got it.
At the diner and is like, I have to write this down now. And he like slides it over to her and she's like, oh, cool.
Thanks again.
I'm going to keep eating my waffle fries, but thank you, Adam. This is cool.
Can you imagine calling your own lines clever as well?
Yeah.
Oh, I wrote the cleverest line, bro. And she didn't even read it. It's like the shittiest version of The Notebook.
Yeah.
I wrote you 1,000 clever lines. She's like, yeah, on napkins. Of course I didn't keep those.
Yeah, like, get paper.
They
like,
mold.
Do a second draft, hon. Look back over it. You spelled rhythm wrong 3 times, 3 different ways.
But you'd think by the 1,000th time he'd get it right.
Oh, God.
Sadly, Adam.
Sadly.
I mean, listen, Adam, if you want to bring in your napkins and explain it, like, I'll listen. I'm open.
Yeah.
But we do have to move on now.
To the most intense.
I'm confused why I have only...
Counterpoint.
Why do I have only a 5-second clip? Let's see what this is.
I will never ask if you ever tell me. I know you well enough to know you never love.
Okay.
Oh.
I guess I cut it there.
Oh, I don't need to ask if you don't ever tell me.
I know you well enough
to know you never loved me. Ooh.
Okay, that's sad. I don't know what to say about that. Yeah. I think I'm just going to keep playing.
Yeah, because this...
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm just going to keep playing, baby.
Let's... Yeah.
Oh my God. This feels undeserved. Oh my God. Oh God. He got so mad.
He truly did. Why can't I feel anything from anyone other than you?
Because you're heartbroken? That doesn't seem that difficult to me.
Yeah. It's also phrased in such
Why can't I feel anything
from anyone other than you?
But I know what goes on.
I know what
when
goes
he's
on.
Hiding his thingy, being real discreet about it, covering the details. You just like people that are nice.
Yeah. God.
But why do I love
you? And then and then that fucking no responsibility. Because he says like, I know you well enough to know you never loved me. So it's like, if you could see the whole time, if you know her well, like...
Why didn't you leave?
It feels like all of this could have been a little bit your fault too, babe.
I will say, apparently now when they perform it live, he changes that line to, all of this was all my fault.
Oh.
So he knows he's bad. He know he bad.
Delicious.
And all of this, it just makes things worse. And then finally, ultimately, we arrive at the last 42 seconds of the song, which I will just play uninterrupted to enjoy. You're welcome.
And both, like, so much counterpoint and so many, like, melodies that you don't, that there's sort of no precedent for. They're just layering on a bunch of stuff. It feels like a really insane Glee mashup. Like, it feels like a mashup of, like, seven different songs, but it's all the same song.
Demi, did Demi do this?
Yeah, it feels like a weird medley slash mashup.
No, this is the original. Yeah. But I will say I would have gone so fucking hard for this if I was 14. Because this was so in vogue.
Absolutely.
There was like some weird badge of honor.
The ramp up to the double time is like fucking great.
Again,
when
now,
it gets to the double time.
As a 30-year-old, I do feel like pretty undeserved. Mm. Like, what did we do to arrive here?
Yeah.
It's not like there was some great solo or like incredible vocal performance. Not even like a cutting lyric.
Right.
This suddenly out of nowhere was like, and now.
Right. I feel like what happened for me was that, like, there was this, and then, like, 2 years, this was like middle school screaming.
Middle school screaming, yep.
And then I got to high school, and like the first mix CD I ever got had Your Ex-Lover Is Dead by Stars on it, which is like truly one of my favorite songs of all time. And that actually, like, is a heartbreak song that is mature and grown up and like earns its ramp up, because it does like lays the groundwork of their two verses, and then it gets to that like, it's one thing I want to say, so I'll be brave, and then it like we've led there, and so there's there is a payoff in it, as opposed to this, which is like so many different melodies the entire time, just screaming on top of each other.
I feel like collectively, I mean, maybe it's just that I relate to your experience, but I personally feel that like Stars was our come down. You know what I mean? Like Stars was the chaser. We were like, okay, we did the bad thing, and now here we, okay. Yeah. Let's all ease into indie music now, because that's where we're headed.
Yes.
Postal Service, okay, I'll take it. Nothing better, maybe. Yes. Like, get a little more nuance in the discussion.
Mm.
Or just maybe that's
Sleeps Alone Tonight. Oh, my gosh. You have to.
I covered that on my mandolin when I had a pixie cut and had lived in LA for like a year. That video is probably still somewhere on the internet.
I'm gonna find it, baby.
I was the one worth leaving. Thank you.
Yes.
She still got it. No.
Got
She still got it while her ass is sweating and she's screaming about Taking Back Sunday as a 30-year-old woman.
We're doing so good.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like this was so necessary for its time.
Yeah.
I have a hard time understanding how it translates in 2019 other than pure nostalgia. Like, if you've never heard this before.
Yeah, if this was just on the radio, I would be mad at it. If I had heard if I heard it for the first time on the radio tomorrow, I would be like, fuck this guy. Yeah. Fuck this guy.
It's pretty problematic, huh?
Yeah.
Like, blaming someone else. I mean, listen, cheating sucks, but, like, to justify suicide.
Yeah, and be like, it's gonna be your fault if I do this.
I wish we had like an Instagram therapy account at the time we could have all followed that would have told us that your wellness is actually your own responsibility.
Yeah.
Maybe. Only if we had that in 2002. But we had a lot of other things to worry about.
Yes.
Like
juicy sweatsuits. Happy Bunny and being Cupid Psycho.
The fucking blue holographic
Cute
liquid eyeshadow.
Cut from the team, but Psycho.
It was there the whole time.
It was there the whole time. I just had to turn over the rock.
Natalie, I need to ask you three things.
Great.
First question. How do you feel about the song now that we've gone through it? Have your feelings changed?
No, I don't think they've changed. I feel like they've risen to the surface of things because I like haven't thought that in depth about this song in a very long time.
I don't think it was written with that in mind.
Yeah, and so I feel that some part of my soul knew that I was gonna listen to it bit by bit today, and things about my love for it would be sort of dismantled in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so this did that work for me. I felt like it undid a lot of bad crushes that I had.
Oh, they're just gone.
Yeah, they're just gone.
In the wind.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the wind.
We exercised those demons.
We exercised those demons.
Amazing.
The whole
fuck
time.
You, Drake. Yeah. What was the username?
Drake Firebird.
Drake. Yeah. See ya, son. I forgot my third question, but my second question.
Great.
Would you change anything about this song? And if so, what?
No, for what it is, because I do think that it exists in a very nostalgic place and it can stay there. But also, like, I would still love to do it at emo night, or like it's two women, where it's two women. More songs where women are screaming, where two women are screaming in counterpoint at and over each other.
Oh my God. So now we're going to have to record this. I also feel like there's like an opportunity here to do like just less.
Yeah.
Personally, like I feel like the only thing I could think of for a punch up here would just be like make it pretty, because it's very ugly.
Yeah. And I feel like when you actually listen to the melodies that they are screaming, like some of them are really pretty.
If they were sung.
Yeah.
What was the one thing he was saying? The only thing I regret is like it's kind of poppy.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see, I guess. You're going to stay tuned to the end of the episode to find out if I did anything. As a sidebar to you, Natalie, that means that you have to listen to this episode now.
I, of course, will. Because
they're getting laid in post now so that I can make adjustments based on the discussion and episode.
Ooh.
I know, new format, new me, New York.
That's very cool. I'm very excited.
Yay. One more listen. You're welcome, Marissa. With that said, should we get to Unpunchable Jam?
Fuck yeah.
You can't punch this.
Natalie.
Yes.
Is my friend. My new best friend. Sorry, I don't know if you signed up for that.
No, I did.
Wonderful.
I did. That was when I signed
When you walked into the door, there was a disclosure. Thank you. What is yours?
Mine is a song called Exile in Gayville from a musical called A Strange Loop.
Exile in Gayville, yeah, from Hell's Kitchen to Sayville, yeah. Then a bus, then a ferry, then an orgy on fire.
It's a show that I've been seeing for like years now because one of my best friends from way back in the day, theater camp, is the star of it and has been like doing workshops of it forever. And it's like such a brilliant show. It's this like self-referential show about a gay black musical theater writer, and he's like working as an usher at a show that is not The Lion King, and he's like trying to write a show while also dealing with like his own self-loathing and his family that does not support homosexuality. And like it's a cast of seven queer black artists playing a host of different characters. Like one plays like his white agent. Like they're playing all of these like different characters, all sort of orbiting around the main character who's called Usher in the show. And the score draws from like so many different influences. There's like great musical theater pastiche and like great, like beautiful, sweeping contemporary melodies. But this song, if you're not super into musical theater, just works as a bop. Because if you're into Liz Phair at all, that's like one of Michael, the writer of the show's like greatest influences. And she has her album Exile in Guyville. And so this is like an homage to her. And it's basically the character of Usher gets on the apps. He gets on Grindr. And so the opening, it's like this song, and like there's a lead in where he's talking. He's like, okay, you can do this. You can do this. Here we go. And then the ensemble comes on, and like in the show, they were all in like these like leather bondage like outfits.
Oh my God, I love this so
and
much.
They all come out and they're like looking into hung, and it's so good. And then the song is just like, oh, the song is like so much fun, such a like Liz Phair pop rock killer. Like the whole score is really incredible, but this one is a great like little taste if you think like, oh, I don't want to get into musical theater, like I'm not into
that's
that.
Not me.
Yeah, like this song is just so good that you will listen
Tricked
to it
ya.
And you have to listen to the whole show after that. But I cannot recommend it highly enough. I listen to it all the time.
Oh,
it's
my
the best.
God, I love everything that you just said.
It's the best.
Now I'm just bummed that I missed the show. Is it still playing?
No, it's they're like trying to figure out what the next steps are for it, because like everyone went crazy over it. But now that you are here, it's at Lincoln Center. It's at the New York Public Library. So, and Michael R. Jackson, the writer, was just saying that he went and saw it last week. They, like, just put it in. And he was like, it actually, like, looks amazing. I was really nervous to, like,
watch a video of it.
So, yeah.
I love being here. Thank you so much. I'm so excited. And I'm so excited, too, just, like, having you at all. It brings such, like, an air. I don't know how to describe it. A certain je ne sais quoi of class. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, my God. What is your Unpunchable Jam, Miel?
I feel like I need, like, a come down after this song.
Yeah.
Because even though, like, obviously it doesn't hold up maybe in 2019, the 14-year-old in me still goes so absolutely hard that I'm exhausted just from having listened to it. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do something, like, very chill and typical of my indie-ass bitch vibe.
Yes.
So I'm doing In Camera by Yumi Zuma. It's this song that showed up in my Spotify, like, discovery a few months back. And, like, I kind of have not been able to stop listening to it since. It's not, like, exceptionally unique. You know what I mean? It kind of sounds like some other songs. But for what it is, I just think it hits the nail so thoroughly on the head of just, like, a chill, sweet little low-key indie bop with just, like, a calm. I think they do that vocal doubling that I don't usually like, but for this song, it totally works for me. And this, like, Fleetwood Mac-ass drum groove, and, like, it just works for me on so many levels. So can't recommend it enough if you're trying to, like, calm down or have, like, a vegan picnic or some shit. I don't know.
Yes.
What do people do here? Vegan picnics?
Vegan picnics, nonstop vegan picnics. No, I love to go to the museum and cry. That's, like, a big... I need to, like, I love to occasionally, like, if I'm spiraling, I would go to the Met and just, like, stand and cry. And I'm like, I'm so insignificant and it doesn't matter. And everyone's just, like, walking by while I'm crying and no one cares.
Natalie, I did this exact thing at Central Park 2 days ago.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Next time I text my friend I'm spiraling, I'm going to text you that and then we can just go have a museum cry, okay?
I love it.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me.
Genuinely a dream. What do you want people to follow you on or promote or anything?
Ooh, yeah. I am at NWOX on Instagram and Twitter, and I am doing 2 shows at the end of this month. If you're in New York, at 54 Below on the 30th and 31st with my friend Bonnie Milligan, who was the lead in the Go-Go's musical Head Over Heels on Broadway. She has the best voice in the entire world.
What's her range?
Literally anything. She can belt, like, a high A above the staff.
Fuck
it's
off.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And so we're doing 2 shows at the end of the month. They're collectively called the Graveyard Smash.
Oh my God,
Smash,
are they spooky?
As in NBC Smash. Yeah, of course, they gotta be spooky. And so the
crossover event of the century, of the spooky and NBC
and
Smash.
Monster Mash. Yeah. But the 30th is the Seance of Stars, which is so, like, as our lead up to Halloween, we're gonna do a night where we, like, pay homage to iconic women who have passed away. And then the 31st. Is the Jaunt of Haunt. And it's gonna be like a hell house of, like, every song is a different monster or horror subgenre.
And you're singing, or is it more comedy, or is it both?
Like, mostly singing, but also, like, a lot of banter in between. Yeah, it'll be a lot of psychosis. I think I'm trying to put in Zombie by Cranberries, like that type of deal. So every song is a different. I want to do a mashup of Werewolf Bar Mitzvah with Over the Moon from Rent. It's going to be
fit into this Venn diagram. So I want to come. Thank you so much.
Great.
Be sure to get your cute but psycho shirts at the merch booth that night.
Yeah. Please wear them.
Well, if you want to check out the podcast, we're everywhere. And by we, I mean me, because I do this alone now. I'm on Patreon. You can sign up for $3 a month if you want, just to submit your thoughts on the sneak peeks of the song, because I tell them what we're doing before anybody else, and then I bring them in. That's how Allie Jurgens told us that this was her aim away message.
Incredible.
You want to do $7 a month, you get live streams. And you want to do $20 a month, I make a Spotify playlist curated specifically for you.
Ooh.
Once a month. So check us out there. Otherwise, pictures on Instagram and Twitter. And that's all I just say. Okay, bye.
Bye.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And now for world premiere.
Beautiful version of Cute Without the E, cut from the team.
Your lipstick is color, don't bother. I know exactly what goes on. finger on the trigger or me face down, down across your floor. Me face down, down across your floor.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.